plate a potential nugget.
And one thing, maybe going back, Whitney, we didn't explore explicitly is stop loss points, right? When we jump S curves, do you have anything to say about how people should think about cutting their losses in case they don't get the returns that they expect at the point of jumping from one S curve to another?
Yes, that's a great question. And you asked me that earlier and I went in a different direction. Okay, so here are two things to think about around that. So whenever you jump to a brand new S curve, we know from the theory of disruption, if you're taking on market risk, the odds of success are six times higher, but that's 6% to 36%. So there's still, you know, a 64% chance that it's not necessarily the right S curve. So here are four questions that you can ask yourself. When you jump to a new S curve, you're not, it feels like, and you're at the low end of that S and you're like, there's no growth happening. And you don't know for sure if it's really not happening or you just can't see it yet. So four questions you can ask yourself is number one, am I playing where no one else is playing? So the first accelerant of personal disruption. Number two, am I playing to my strengths? So you might have a great idea and you might be playing where no one else is playing, but if you're trying to do something in an arena where you don't actually fundamentally have any strengths, that's going to be tough. The third question you want to ask yourself, is it hard but not debilitating? So for example, if you wake up every morning and there's like this mountain of an S curve that you're trying to scale and you say, this is hard, but I feel alive, then growth is probably on its way. But if you're feeling, if you're dreading your work, maybe even getting sick, these can be symptoms of this flatlining curve. And then the fourth question you want to ask yourself is, am I gaining momentum? You know, if last week it took, you know, 4 hours to do something, this week, does it take 2 hours? Like, are you starting to see some momentum, even though it might seem small, but is that momentum kicking in? And if your answers to those four questions are no, then it's probably a signal that you need to consider certainly tweaking what you're trying to do, but it also may be a sign that you need to jump to a brand new S curve, knowing that no S curve is ever wasted. And one favorite quote I have on this is this is from Seth Godin, marketing genius. And he says, winners quit all the time. They just quit the right stuff at the right time. And so those four questions can help you know. If the answers are no, it's probably time to quit. We know from research that if you don't quit when you should quit, this idea of a stop loss, our bodies actually generate this inflammatory molecule that contributes to things like heart disease and diabetes. And if we don't quit when we're on the wrong S curve, that frustration that we're feeling starts to have this contagion effect in all areas of our life. So winners quit all the time. They just quit the right stuff at the right time. If you're on that low end of that S curve, those four questions you ask, their answer is no, it's time to jump to a new curve to cut your losses. If the answers are yes, then maybe it's just more persistence is required. What we know from the math is that if it's a brand new role, it could take at least 6 months before you start to hit that knee of that S curve. And so sometimes it's just patience and persistence is required. But those four questions will help you know if it's patience required or it's time to jump to a new S curve.
Got it. Very helpful. This reminds me of my chat with James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, who speaks about the notion of the plateau of latent potential, which at some level is a bit like the foothills of the S-curve that Whitney speaks about.
All right, so let's say we're heating up this ice cube, right? And it's, I don't know, -5 degrees, something like that. You're heating it up, -4, -3, -2, -1. And the ice cube's still sitting there. You can still see your breath. But then you go from -1 to 0, and it's a 1 degree shift, just like all those that came before it, but suddenly the ice cube melts. You hit this phase transition. And the process of improving is very much like that. The process of building better habits and getting results is very much like the process of heating up an ice cube. And you hear people say things like this all the time. They'll say like, I've been running for a month, but I can't see a change in my body, you know? And my argument is running for a month and complaining about not seeing the results you want, or writing your book for 8 months and not having it be finished yet. It's kind of like complaining about heating an ice cube from -5 to -1 degrees and they're not melting. You know, like the work was not being wasted. It's just being stored. And so you're kind of, you can view each iteration of your habit as building up this potential energy that can then be released later on. And I think about, there's this quote from the San Antonio Spurs NBA basketball teams. They've won 5 championships, and they have this quote hanging in their locker room. And it says something to the effect of, when I feel like giving up, I think about the stone cutter who takes his hammer and bangs on the stone 100 times without it showing a crack. And then on the 101st blow, it splits in two. And I know that it wasn't the 101st that did it, but all those that came before. And that is true for pretty much any habit, right? Like, it's not the final sentence that writes the book. It's all those that came before. It's not the latest workout that gets your body fit. It's all those that came before. And so the willingness to accept that 1% improvements make a meaningful difference, even if they don't show you anything on a given day, and then remaining committed to that in the long run, that I think is how you capture the power of compounding habits and of letting 1% improvements work for you rather than against you.
Just like Whitney speaks about timing, I guess the key is to strike a balance between quitting too early on what could have been a great pathway versus spending too much time on a path that's destined to fail. The answer, like in most cases in life, is somewhere in the middle, I guess. Thank you for listening.